Roy Williams wasn't destined for coaching greatness. Born into a family with outlaw roots, including relatives of the notorious Dalton Gang, his childhood offered little promise. Growing up in poverty with an alcoholic, abusive father who eventually abandoned the family, Roy found salvation in basketball at age 8. Despite limited athletic gifts, he set his sights on coaching, walking on at North Carolina and volunteering as Dean Smith's statistician. When Smith hired him as an assistant for just $2,700, far below what he needed to support his family, Roy took multiple jobs to make ends meet. This relentless work ethic became his signature, carrying him through a decade under Smith, 15 successful seasons at Kansas, and ultimately back to Chapel Hill, where he cemented his legacy with multiple national championships. What makes his story remarkable isn't natural talent or connections, it's his unwavering commitment to outworking everyone else, a philosophy that transformed a poor kid from Asheville into one of basketball's greatest coaches. Basketball became my escape from a chaotic home life. My mother, Lalage, was my angel, intelligent and protective. My father, though charismatic when sober, was an alcoholic prone to violence. Our family moved frequently during their separations until we briefly owned a house, which my father lost to foreclosure. At 14, I confronted him during a violent episode with a bottle, telling him to leave. He never returned. I spent countless hours practicing, eventually receiving a key to the Biltmore gym from a sympathetic principal. Coach Buddy Baldwin's belief that I could do big things through hard work inspired my path to coaching. The community rallied around me despite our poverty. Walt Stroop's mother helped with clothes, while teacher Carl Conley provided rides. Basketball became my identity as I practiced constantly, using doorways as makeshift hoops. At UNC, I went from hometown hero to anonymous freshman. Determined, I ran dorm stairs nightly before tryouts. Among 77 players competing for 15 spots, I made the team. Though our freshman team ranked first nationally, I remained a bench player, humbled by practicing against superior athletes. At UNC, I shifted from playing to coaching, documenting Coach Smith's practices and tracking points per possession statistics during games. My first coaching role at Owen High School challenged me. The team had a poor record, and we struggled through two difficult seasons. A crucial team meeting led to a 9-game winning streak that transformed our season. I followed mentor Buddy Baldwin's principles, formal dress codes, post-practice cleanup, and personal notes to players. Though successful at Owen, I aspired to coach college basketball. As a UNC assistant, I juggled multiple jobs to support my family, running camps, managing transport paperwork, delivering tapes, and selling calendars. One summer's 9,000-mile calendar sales yielded just $2,400, and in 1980, our family of four survived on $8,910. After seeing Michael Jordan at our summer camp, I told assistant Eddie Fogler, "I think I just saw the best 6'4" high school basketball player I've ever seen." At UNC, Jordan declared he'd be the school's best player ever. When I challenged his work ethic, he promised no one would outwork him, and proved it by attacking every drill with fierce intensity. That's when I knew we had something special. During the 1982 NCAA championship game against Georgetown, we trailed by one with 32 seconds left. Coach Smith transformed the worried huddle by saying, "We're exactly where we want to be, because we're going to determine the outcome." He told Michael, "If you get it, knock it in." Jordan hit the winning shot, securing Smith's first national championship. Taking the Kansas head coaching position in 1988 was gut-wrenching. The NCAA had placed Kansas on 3 years probation, no tournament that year, reduced scholarships, and a 1-year campus visit ban. Top recruits backed out, and a former Jayhawk Club president publicly questioned my hiring. In my second season, we shocked basketball fans by defeating #2LSU with Shaquille O'Neal after I predicted we'd spoil the party to Dick Vitale. Later in New York, we beat #1UNLV, rising from unranked to hash 4 nationally, despite being introduced as Ron Williams. Our 1997 team, featuring 4 future NBA first-round picks, started 22-0 before a loss at Missouri. We won every game after until the NCAA tournament, where an injury to Jared Hasse contributed to our 85-82 loss against Arizona. At 34-2, that defeat remains my greatest coaching disappointment. When Coach Guthridge resigned in 2000, UNC offered me their head position while Kansas countered with a lifetime contract. I visited Chapel Hill with my family, receiving Coach Smith's blessing for either choice. Despite countless pro-con lists, I couldn't decide, and returning to Kansas, I found Allen Fieldhouse covered with fans' pleas for me to stay. After receiving player support, I initially stayed at Kansas, damaging relationships, notably with Coach Guthridge, who didn't speak to me for 3 years. North Carolina hired Matt Doherty, but following his departure and my Kansas AD leaving, I returned to Carolina. Breaking the news to my Kansas players was devastating. At North Carolina, my goals were clear: make the NCAA tournament first year, then win it all. The first workout lasted just 28 minutes, yet 2 players vomited, exposing their poor conditioning. For 2005, I began with pure defensive training, removing all rims from practice courts. I reminded players of my promise to win the whole blessed thing in year 2. We won the Maui Invitational and built a 14-game streak. After a close Duke loss, I avoided singling out Raymond Felton's final play, instead sharing collective responsibility, unifying the team. Raymond's performance soared afterward. We beat UConn away and claimed the ACC championship, overcoming Duke's 9-point lead in the final minutes. My coaching philosophy centers on relentless effort. Practice plans are timed to the minute, with drills customized for each opponent. Our offense emphasizes running, pushing 90 to 105 possessions per game, as more possessions favor the superior team. After winning the championship, Sean May's emotional embrace and words, "Coach, you believed in me. This is the happiest moment of my life," embodied what Carolina basketball means. Loyalty defines me. I stayed with Converse despite Nike's double offer, remembering their early support. I prioritize my players absolutely, once declining a call from former President Bush during a player meeting. Family remains paramount. In 1984, I made a 30-hour round trip from Tokyo for Christmas with my children before rejoining the team in Hawaii. My wife Wanda balances my dreamer mentality with practicality. What drives me is knowing no other coach will outwork me. Hard work isn't just what I do, it's who I am. It transformed a poor kid from Asheville into a champion, proving persistence overcomes all.